Hello and welcome to the Popcorn Junkies.
Hiya, Popcorn Junkies here.
Mum.
Yes.
This is my mother, in case you're wondering. We are a movie review channel. If you like trailer reactions, if you like TV series reviews, if you like movie reviews, if you like, once the writer's strike and actor's strike is over, movie news, then come to the Popcorn Junkies. We also have an Instagram account. Go and follow us on the Popcorn Junkies on Instagram. My mother happens to be my mother, but she's also a film fan, film aficionado, and she's got her notebook, which I think is the sign of a professional.
It is. There's not much in it.
But when you go to these previous screenings, all the journos, they're all there with their notebooks. They don't come out and just blop this stuff into the papers.
They do not.
You know what I mean? Okay, so this is a review of a film called Past Lives, and it feels like this came out in a past life. We've been trying to and striving to do a review of this for weeks. Me and Nadia reacted to the trailer to this, and it looked
Yeah, I looked that up again, actually.
Yeah, and it was a really tender, sensitive trailer. We were very excited about watching it. It looked like an unusually sort of calm, meditative exploration on love, lost love, past love, and all that kind of stuff. So this is an American-Korean film. It's directed by a woman called Celine Song.
She was a theatre director.
Theatre director. It's her first film. It stars Greta Lee as the lead female, Teo Yu as her Korean childhood love, if you like, and John Magaro plays Greta Lee's character's husband in modern day life, if you like. It's an A24 production, so it has that sort of...
Heft.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, often people go, well, you know, I mean, if we get excited about a Disney film, why would you not get excited about A24 being a sort of a brand of approval, if you like? I wanted to see this. You said nothing of it. And you were like, you didn't have any interest in it. And then I was like, no, I'm going to go and see it. Then I saw it, and then you hadn't seen it. And then you were like, should I see it? And I was like, yes, it is. So it was an arduous task.
It was. And also, I would be the first to put my hands up and say, if you hadn't said go and see it, I probably wouldn't.
You wouldn't have gone to see it. Well, I think it's fair to say that this film is being talked a lot in terms of next year's Oscars. Tell us what the concept of the film is.
Well, the concept of the film is that it's about a relationship between two people. It spans a period of time from childhood up till now.
So childhood sweethearts, effectively. Though I would argue, and this is what's interests me about the film, are they childhood sweethearts? Or was it just a close childhood friendship that could be misconstrued as something more?
Yeah.
Essentially, childhood sweethearts, essentially, they're separated geographically. She sets up a new life. And what I like about this film is the way in which Tech, I think she's doing auditions, isn't she, for a show or a play that she's writing. And someone asks her, or she asks her mum or something, you know, the thought goes out, I wonder what happened to such and such, or I wonder what happened to him.
Yeah.
And Tech allows her to find him. She goes to sort of thing on Facebook.
But it's literally like that. It's one step removed from her. It's like, I wonder what.
The title's no big surprise. This is a film about exploring the idea of what if. What if she hadn't moved? What if they'd got together? What if that love that they felt they had, or did they feel they had, or did they have, if they had kind of managed to kind of consummate that in the purely most romantic sense? You know, it's all these what ifs, how lives changed, sliding doors and all that kind of stuff. But it was such an arbitrary moment that took her to thinking about him.
Yeah.
That for me, that created a profound problem for me for the whole film. Because... she wasn't thinking about him.
No, she wasn't.
And so, because she suddenly started thinking about him, I found it hard to believe the extent to which she felt, or thought she felt, or didn't know if she did feel, about him.
Okay.
And I thought it weirdly, not that that's necessarily a narrative failure or a script failure, but for me, if I was going through the drafts and drafts of my script, that would have nagged me.
Well, I get what you're saying. Undoubtedly, that was so. You know, she's looking just in a desultory fashion.
Whereas I felt his longing. I felt like he's been thinking of her lots more.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I would say, and I have to go slightly forward to say this, to make this statement, she doesn't know she's missing him.
Right.
This film is about the fact that she does not know she's missing him, which is why that scene is important.
Right.
He knows he's missing her, and so he goes through the thing of trying to find her. There's so much in this film. There's, you know, the fact that they're both in different sides of the world. And she says there's statements like, I feel the most Korean when I'm with him, being the least Korean, or her husband or whatever. There's loads of those sort of double statements which make me think she did not expect to feel this.
Let's go back to the first shot. I thought the first shot of the film was really interesting.
Oh,
of course,
great.
We found the three of them in a bar. And you've got this other voice.
Yes.
None of the characters.
No.
Who is this other voice? Who is the person? We don't know. Is it someone else in the restaurant? But we're watching this curious throuple, if you like. There's an two ostensibly Asian Korean people, her and her ex, we discover, or her childhood, you know, sweetheart, and her husband, and the three of them are there. And then, and the voice, either the narrator or the other person in the restaurant, clearly it's placing us, the viewer, in the position of the viewer. You know, you're looking in. And it's nice, because we all do that when we're in restaurants.
I was just going to say, don't we all do that? Yeah, look at all... people and envisage their relationship.
Yeah, even if you're on the tube or something, you write the narratives around people. Yeah. And I thought it was a really nice moment about how we do write the narratives. And in a weird way, you know, out from this moment, this sort of, if you feel like this three shot.
Yes.
The whole film sort of then sort of fills in all the bits that are missing from what your assumptions are, just seeing the three of them.
Yeah.
And so that was the start. And then we go through various flashbacks of kind of moving through their various chapters of their lives back up to the point where she decides to find out about him, they decide to meet, and he comes over from Korea, and they do meet in New York. But it's not a particularly cinematic film. It looks nice enough, but it wasn't trying to be show-offy in its cinema.
No, it wasn't, certainly wasn't trying to be show-offy. And I thought to myself, oh, this is a love story to New York, but then I revised that opinion because it's not really.
It made a very bold decision not to let the camera work or the act of making the film get in the way of the complications or ambiguities. I don't think this film is trying to say anything fundamentally in the end anyway, is it? It's throwing up a load of kind of stuff, and it leaves you to sort of think, oh God, yeah, you know, what does this mean? I wonder what if, you know, what... I thought, going back to your thing of when she was made to, she didn't realise she did miss him. How much of what she was feeling about wanting to see this ex or this childhood sweetheart, how much of that was more about her migrant experience, the idea of missing home?
That's the whole point. That's what's so brilliant about the film is you don't really know. She doesn't know herself, but the fact is that she doesn't know until he's there in front of her. So the phone stuff, it's nice, it's weird and nice to hear from him, but it doesn't do it in the way that him being there does it.
But it's important to stress as well around this, guys. Her husband is an incredibly agreeable, supportive, sympathetic, amenable, understanding kind of partner. He literally, I've made a note here, he manifests that sort of attribute that Nadia's often talking about, which actually comes from the world of polyamorous relationships, which is compersion, the ability to feel pleasure if your partner experiences pleasure. Normally in those circumstances it's sexual, but the word compersion is being sort of broadened out into more kind of like, can you genuinely feel? Me and we've talked about a number of people in our lives who clearly cannot feel or have the capacity to feel happiness if someone close to them feels happy about something.
Yeah,
it's strange.
Yeah.
It's like for some reason they just can't allow it or allow themselves to feel it. And I thought the husband in this was a curious character because he felt compassion for his partner. He allowed her to step towards something that actually is potentially dangerous. She could have fallen in love. She could have left him.
Yeah.
He asked a question about whether she was attracted to him. And she said sort of, I thought it was a funny answer when she said, I suppose he's attractive in a Korean way or something. You know,
he's very masculine. She says that.
Everything she says would have left me a suppurating mass on the bathroom floor.
Yeah. The fact is, I mean, he's very well drawn, that character. Don't you think the husband?
Yeah.
I mean, they all are, but considering his part is much smaller and he only comes into it at the end.
Well, his part was very well drawn, but I'm going to home in on the second part of the film that I struggled with.
Okay.
I didn't believe him. Now, I think, and I have this problem with compersion too, it's something that I think we all would like to aspire to. But in this set of circumstances, I didn't buy it. I didn't believe it. I found there was something odd about the level of acquiescence his character had. And I understand that she, obviously from a dramatic perspective, this wasn't going to be, she didn't want it to become a film about jealousy or ownership
or any of that stuff.
So you have to kind of manage, you have to make him quite happy with this curious sort of bizarre love triangle quite quickly. And I didn't buy that. I didn't believe it.
What, not even when he says, she's travelled 13 hours, I'm not going to say
bullshit.
Can't see him?
No,
really?
I would have found myself again needing to create a few scenes to flesh that out a little bit, to possibly go deeper into his fears and worries, to then come back to a place of, oh, actually, he's all right about it, just so that I kind of felt comfortable. I didn't believe it.
He tries to learn the language bits of it, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You know, to sort of make him not as strange. I mean, there is a scene, isn't there? You know, we have the first scene where an unnamed person is watching them, and we have the narrative where, you know, what relationship are
commentary,
they to each other?
Yeah.
We then have another scene, don't we, further on, from their point of view, where she gets up and goes to the
that's right towards the end.
Yeah, yeah, right towards the end. But then him and the two men are talking. And that's a curiously uncomfortable scene, don't you think?
I found the husband in it really problematic, and I found him too passive. I found him too passive. I thought it would have been all the richer for him to have had a bit of a struggle with what was going on for her. It's one of the things I'm surprised by is obviously you've had quite a strong connection to the film. It's quite a is it quite a romantic film?
I was going to start off by saying,
you're not a romantic.
I despise and have always thought I hated rom-coms. They're my least favourite type of film. But also I'm a huge whatever the opposite of a fan is, not fan of nostalgia. Right. I don't do nostalgia. No. And this film is all nostalgia.
Yeah.
And the reason why the husband works for me is that it all hinges on her, actually, and it's more or less what I said before, is that she only realises things as she's speaking. She dreams in Korean, I mean, which he's upset by, the husband. Mm. As she's in that scene in the bar, as she, and when they're walking around Central Park, she, as she talks to him in Korean, she feels it. She doesn't feel it until that happens. Mm. And that is fascinating, I think, because it's when language... I always remember I had a friend once who... her husband was French, and she was fluent. And I said, how do you know when you're fluent? She said, you dream in that language. And I thought, that's fascinating.
That's where I think the film was quite interesting in terms of her and what her compulsion was to want to be with this guy. Was it about how the speaking the language took her back to the essential sense of who she was? Not that she needed to be with him. Was the fact that he was from her childhood took her back to her childhood, which happened to be with him, but it wasn't necessarily about being with him. Because I think this film ends with a sort of, it's not particularly resolved. Well, it is resolved.
Well, it's not in a way.
But it's not resolved in a resolvable way at all, really.
Except she starts to cry.
She starts to cry, and so you feel that there's just sort of regret. Okay, I'm going to come off the fence on this and sort of say what I think. I mean, they talk about the Korean concept of in-yun, which is fabulous to me. Karmic idea of how we're all connected and how you're brought back to someone, is it? Across many, many lives.
Which is why past lives doesn't just mean past lives.
Of course.
It means past lives for each person.
Yeah. I felt that she was one of the most annoying narcissists I've ever come across in my life.
You are kidding me.
I thought this was all about her having an itch and not really caring about all the kind of emotional gymnastics and acrobatics everyone else would have to jump through or go through, which let's face it, the chap coming from Korea, T-O-U-U, he was feeling it all. He was an agonising presence. He was a heartbreaking presence. His face, you could just watch for hours on end. For me, she was like the worst person in the world character. She reminded me of her. This felt like it was another... And that's not to say that's a bad thing.
Well, it is a bad thing in terms of an identification.
Yeah, but I mean, again, you know, we talked about a film recently. I can't remember what, where, you know, not identifying with a character is quite a nice thing, being challenged to not identify with someone.
Yeah.
But I felt she really, really annoyed me. And I thought the guy who came from Korea, her childhood love, her interest was too good for her. It was so self-indulgent of her as a character. Now, that doesn't make it a bad film. That's how I felt about her. So I had zero empathy for her. Or sympathy.
If you buy at all the message of the film, the fact that somebody, and the thing I've just said about dreaming in Korean, the fact that you can be brought up in a land or a place that's completely different and the language is not the main thing, but one of the main things. And then suddenly you're taken back to that. The effect of that is so extraordinary. You go back to that 6-year-old
But that's
child.
Not about the man.
No.
She's using the man as a vehicle. The man is merely a sort of representation of her childhood. And that's where I felt for the man. So all of my empathy and sympathy and feelings in this film were for her childhood sweetheart guy. Because I was thinking, you poor thing. He's come all this way. He's the ultimate romantic character. He's the one who's travelled the world.
Yeah,
but there's no
sort of discussion. I mean, she says at one point, doesn't she?
Interestingly, he wasn't visiting her to also feel what it might be like to escape. He had no interest in moving to America. It wasn't like he came and stuff.
No.
But I felt all of her stuff, and I think the film dropped the ball a little bit here. I think I wanted a bit more, not exposition necessarily, but a bit more exploration, more obvious exploration of how her confused feelings about him were actually her confused feelings about her being an immigrant and her disconnect from her country.
I think you got that.
Yeah, no, and I did get it. But all it made me think was, slap yourself around the face and tell this poor fucker to go home because you're spinning him a yarn.
No, you can't, because he wasn't unhappy, the boyfriend. He was smiling most of the time. No, he didn't.
He seemed broken.
His face was what was so sweet about him, and so... He was happy, he was smiling, they were laughing. And she keeps going off in Korean and thinking of a better way to say it in Korean than she did in English. And I thought that was absolutely profound. The fact that she didn't want to leave her husband. It wasn't that type of... So in a sense, you're absolutely right, it wasn't a rom-com at all. It was a fact that she didn't know that she missed, and of course when I say she didn't know that she missed him, it's not him, it's that whole experience.
She didn't miss him.
Yeah, but that's okay.
Yeah, but that, no, you see, I don't think it is.
No, that's what you're saying.
I think that's really, I think this goes back to, we had a conversation recently about how that I have a fear of a living horror, which is this idea where people just do what they want to do because they want to indulge their idle emotional thoughts. And for me, this was a film in which she was, the film made me feel. She was had a total disregard for her husband, and the guy that came over, she led him a merry dance. She had no interest in him. She wanted to pick at her scab, which is no, and that's not, I'm not insulting, I'm not insulting the desire to do that, but my feelings were left for him. I was thinking, bloody hell, all right, so you just, whilst you're having your bloody, you know, moment of kind of self-doubt and worry and concern, let everyone else around you just go on pause for a minute. And I'd say this if it was a bloke, it's not about, I just had the same, I like the worst person in the world, but I found her passionless, I found her utterly unsympathetic, I found her opportunistic. I found her sort of crassly ambitious.
Whoa, no wonder you didn't like it.
No, it wasn't that I didn't like it. I didn't like her. I didn't find her romantic. I found her selfish.
Well, I didn't really find her romantic at all, because that's not what she's doing. What she's doing is reliving. She's doing the thing that whatever Koreans call it, umgoying, and going back in her life. Yeah, I know, but she's doing it in the sense that she's in a stable marriage.
Yes.
I mean,
she's the most selfish character I've ever come across.
He's okay, her husband, and that she can do it.
Yeah, but
I felt that was totally believable.
What do you think, guys? A lot of people, whilst a lot of people like this film, a lot of people are saying, well, it was kind of all right, but it didn't kind of hit me where I didn't enjoy it as in the way that I thought I was going to from the trailer.
Okay.
I didn't find it a sort of complex thing. Obviously, it's about the past life she had and the past life she could have had and the different life she might have had and the life she's got and how she's changed to have the life that she's got. But I don't know. It was curious. I was left feeling, when push comes to shove, if I was asked to give you what my ultimate... If I was said, give us a word to describe the lead character in this film, I'd have said self-indulgent, self-obsessed and selfish. Really? So, the more I think about this film, the more I think, for fuck's sake.
Well, in that case, there's no way of exploring one's past ever. The film presumes that they've sorted out enough, she and her husband. And I think that's why they gave him not quite
so small, what. Okay, so what was the film's final analysis about her relationship with the guy that went back? How are you left reading the end of the film where she's crying and he gets in the car and they've stood
that
for ages?
She embraces her Korean heritage in a way that she never would have done if he hadn't come.
Right, so he served his purpose to help her sort out her itch.
Well, not even just served his purpose, she's totally, all the time that she's with him, walking around, whatever, she's captivated by him, but it's a more complex film than that. Not in a sort of, we're going to go to bed as soon as we can.
No, I'm not asking for lust. I'm not even asking. No, I get that. And I understand. If you go back to the idea of the In-Yun, this is what it's all about.
It's about In-Yun.
Yeah,
and the fact that, you know, in the beginning, and I'm sure we all as the audience felt that, we know that she's going to Canada and she goes up the steps. She doesn't even say goodbye. She doesn't even tell. So following up your point, in the classroom, she doesn't even tell him she's going. She tells somebody else, so he has
selfish
to deduce it.
An entitled, selfish little cow.
Well, I just don't think you can. I think
I don't anyone else
about
this
bigger
assessment.
Things than that.
It is about bigger things than that, but...
You could have made her... Put it this way, you could have made her a person who was doing all the things that she's doing, like Celine Song, who wrote the film, who is doing all the things that she wanted to do and succeeding in them, but she's not married, say, for example. She's not, you know, she's has serial relationships or whatever.
I'm not asking for her to have, I'm not suggesting that this film would have been a more kind of, it would have been more narratively obvious if she'd gone with him or decided to go back with him or had decided that actually she should leave her husband or whatever and all that kind of stuff. No, I'm not an idiot. I know that the film is about the spiritual In-Yun of connection and life and being, and it's very sort of zen and it's all of that stuff. I get all of that. But in terms of her, the woman that, you know, you meet in a movie and I kept feeling all the way through it was just really, really narcissistic. This is so narcissistic. This woman is so just needing to scratch an itch. And I would have felt less like that if I'd sensed more warmth. I didn't feel much warmth from her to either her husband or him, weirdly. didn't feel warmth. Like, she had warmth for what she didn't have or what she might not.
Yeah.
She had warmth towards herself, but she didn't have warmth towards... She didn't have any warmth towards
this
guy.
She did as she broke into Korean, as she started to get used to it. Also, let me just say quickly, and this might be a reason for us differing so completely, is, and I don't want to sound sort of zen or mystical or anything, but I believe in that theory myself,
right.
that we do have past lives and that we do,
yeah. You
know, two things.
She herself says at one point, this is just a line trotted out by Koreans
to fool
people.
Yeah, but that's a joke.
I know, but I think, ironically, in that joke is the truth.
Oh, well, I didn't think that. I thought she was making a joke because it was safe to, because all Koreans believe that.
Yeah,
so there
but
we go.
I think possibly that's the truth of the saying. It's like odd. It's like...
You were determined to see it as that,
no,
I think.
No, I wasn't. I really wasn't. I was determined to see this as a gentle, subtle, French New Wave-esque kind of Eric Romare. I thought, well, this is going to be interesting. I thought he looked great. It's sensitive, tender,
yeah.
Regret. How does a relationship cope with one half of them having this sort of tug back to either a person or a place? I felt no complication there. And I really, really must insist that the husband being so acquiescent around it, I think removed the possibility of some really, really interesting exploration. Maybe difficult to work out what the scenes would have been, but I think there could have been some real kind of interesting characterisation.
Well, I think there was, but in a very...
No,
sort
he
of...
ended up sitting on a bar stool for
no,
3
no, no.
hours
yeah.
saying nothing as they
yeah.
chatted in Korean, which no man on earth would do.
Yeah, I can't agree with you. I mean, when she says to him, and I think she says it twice, he's very masculine in a Korean type of way. She is endorsing her husband in that
yes,
respect.
Yes, she was. But
and there are lots of phrases like that.
Yeah.
And I think that because they don't give us much of their, you know, there's one scene of the two of them in bed when she says, you know, oh, shut up and go to sleep or something. But I thought that was fair enough. We were supposed to know that their relationship was secure enough. Yes, he's insecure enough to sort of look at her with his big eyes and to try and use a bit of Korean. But he's in no way and at no time threatened because she's not going to go off. She's not. And we know that. We
totally
just know
unbelievable.
I don't believe that.
I found it. I mean, you know, obviously maybe the director knows bigger men than me. But, I, you know, with all the well-meaning will in the world, I wouldn't have been able to have been that agreeable to that. OK, well, why don't you sum up and tell us what you said? So obviously, this film really worked for you.
It absolutely worked. I mean, I was staggered. You know, there was, in terms of Korean films, you know, there was Parasite and everybody won everything going. And then there was a rash of Korean films, one of which was Drive My Car or something. I hated all the other ones. Not just because they didn't stand up to Parasite, which they didn't, but because I couldn't get involved in the characters. Oh, what about the music in this
music,
one?
Yeah. As I say, there was a lot I liked about the film.
Okay. I was totally with it. I was totally with her, and I would give you the fact that it is a film about her, not the men. But that's fair enough.
Well, no, that's fine. I mean, I've got no issue with that. I don't want it to sound like I've got an issue. It was interesting that I thought Worst Person in the World was an excellent film in which it was
a very self-centred
woman. This was a good film with a very self-centred woman, but I really didn't like this self-centred woman. I just found her really annoying.
In that case, I think that she's missed you, the director. Somehow she's missed you.
You don't need to like a character to like a film, quite the opposite.
No, I know, but you got your reasons.
There was just a moment in the film where it literally hit me without me even wanting to think it. I thought, oh, for fuck's sake, get over yourself. It was all about her scratching an itch. Now, that itch to scratch of the migrant experience is fascinating and obviously something that we can only imagine and can only see represented. And for me, I suppose I was expecting that itch, if you like, to go to a more sort of, what's the word? A sort of more...
Fundamental depth.
Well, no, but from her character, a more care... I don't know. It's ironic. It's almost like she's so... I didn't feel she felt anything, actually, for this guy, because she hadn't thought of him before. She was reminded of what she could have had. She thought she'd go and... She did that thing where she's like, oh, I'm going to test the water of what it would have been like. I'm going to patronise this. And I found her patronising.
I found her really patronising. Bad experience of this woman.
I thought
as she became aware of what she'd lost, not him, but the whole Korean shtick... She blossomed. She smiled as they were walking round. She sort of almost was pulling
her... But she cries at the end of the film.
She cries at the end of the film because she's done the whole circle. She didn't cry when she left him. She cries at the end. And I thought that scene was masterly where they... let's talk for a minute about the fact that there are very few words in this film. There's far, far more looks. That last scene is about two or three or
even
5 minutes.
Well, the two of them standing waiting for the Uber.
Just standing looking at each other.
Yeah, I love that. It's a great moment.
But it wasn't a thing of, oh, you know, I'm losing you or I'm...
No, because she didn't feel anything for him. She felt something for what she was going through. She felt she only had feelings for herself. She didn't have any feelings for him. I'm telling you that right now.
Well, I'm not even sort of trying to push the fact that she had feelings for him, but along the way of thinking about being
this is a romance. This is a romance genre. Or this is a romance movie for selfish people.
No, but you said to me when I was saying about rom-coms, it's not a rom-com. It's very definitely not a rom-com.
It's an indie romantic film. But you get romantic films without being a rom-com. It's an indie romance for selfish people.
Oh, that's no. I think
that's what I think. That's what I was left with. I thought I thought she was really, 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 really patronising and selfish.
I can't remember the last time we disagreed this much. There was something we really disagreed.
Anyway, so, okay, in sum up and score, what would you go for?
94.
Okay, cool. I would give this, as I say, I like the music. I liked the fact that it didn't need to kind of do any sort of cinematic pyrotechnics to get in, that it didn't need it. I thought, I liked its pacing. I liked that it didn't seem hurried. I liked the fact that there wasn't a lot of script. I found Tio Yu, her childhood love interest. He was for me the most successfully drawn character. Mm. He was the one that I felt for. He was the one that I was most curious about. Most intrigued by. I was hurt on his behalf. I felt for him.
I wasn't, because he wasn't hurt.
No, I know, but I don't think he necessarily knew he was hurt. And so, John, they're all great. They're all good. But it's nothing to do with Greta Lee's performance. I thought she was fantastic. Mm. And she was really, really watchable, really engaging. But I just found whatever her character was going through, I just found it very selfish. Now, you could argue, everything is ultimately selfish because it's what we're going through, isn't it? What her character's going through. Yeah. So I think I'm probably being overly harsh, but I don't mind. I think this film can sustain that. But if I was to score it, it really wasn't what I thought I was going to go and see.
Because in a way,
I will give this... I'll give this 77.
And what about the whole Umgoyish thing of it?
I think it's an opportunistic chat-up line. If I'm honest, I think she revealed her true colours when she said that.
Okay.